And we begin in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And once again, we will do the confession, and those of you at home who don't remember the words, just say amen at the end. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name.
Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
First reading from Scripture is Jeremiah chapter 8, verses 9 to 12. The wise will be put to shame, they will be dismayed and trapped. Since they have rejected the word of the Lord, what kind of wisdom do they have? Therefore, I will give their wives to other men and their fields to new owners. For from the least to the greatest, all are greedy for gain, prophets and priests alike. all practice deceit. They dress the wounds of my people as though it were not serious. Peace, peace, they say, when there is no peace. Are they ashamed of their detestable conduct? No, they have no shame at all. They do not even know how to blush. So they will fall among the fallen. They will be brought down when they are punished, says the Lord. Here ends the reading. The psalm is Psalm 51, verses 1 to 9. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgression and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Yet you desired faithfulness, even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in that secret place. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquity. Here ends the reading. The next reading is from Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 to 9. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Here ends the reading.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 12th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning, like servants waiting for their master return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose masters find them ready, even if he comes in the middle of the night or toward daybreak. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. And we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. A question. Have you ever run late for an appointment and been upset and hurried to get in your car and hope that you would not be too late? And then only find that had you been on time, you probably would have been in the accident that now you're passing that has police and multiple ambulance attending. That happened to a friend of mine whose daughter was a student of mine in school. He overslept, and as a result, he missed his usual train to go to work. And so he took the next one, knowing he would be late. His job was in the World Trade Center in New York, and it was a beautiful fall day. Then his train was turned back, but he didn't know why. The date was September 11th, 2001. Some of the other parents in our school had already arrived at work. He was spared. Who knows why? Only God can answer that. And there are countless experiences we have, perhaps not so dramatic as that, but as we look back, we can see where we were spared. Or perhaps, without knowing, being forewarned. Last week, we spoke of some warnings and omens and how they could be a good thing, a helpful thing, when heeded. We remembered the city of Nineveh, who God had Jonah warn, and how they had heeded that warning and changed their ways and ultimately were spared. These are all good things. Their warnings were very specific, which also made it easier for them to see their future if they did not repent and change. According to this Gospel of Luke, Abraham warns the rich that his family had Moses and the prophets and their warnings and did not heed them. As a result, the rich man was in Hades, looking across a wide chasm at Abraham and the poor man Lazarus. The rich man had not heeded the warnings. Jonathan Cahn, a Messianic Jewish rabbi, stood at ground zero after the rebuilding, and as he took in everything, he realized that this was all laid out in the book of the prophet Isaiah. It was Isaiah who had led him to be a Christian because of the prophecies concerning Messiah, which were fulfilled. In chapter 7 of that book, we read, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." And then in the 9th chapter of Isaiah, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." And as to his deity, also in 9, "There will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future he will honor the Galilee of the Gentiles by the sea, according to the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." And even to his death in 52 we read, "Surely he took our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We are like sheep and have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." These are some of the passages that brought about the conversion of the rabbi. Oh, that would stay in our minds and our hearts and turn us from our iniquities. Now, as Jonathan stood in awe of what had transpired at Ground Zero, it was brought to light other of Isaiah's prophecies. Those to the Israelites, warning them of their actions, their turning away from God, and their defiance that they could take care of themselves and were not dependent on God who had protected them. They were criticized for relying on foreign alliances and a treaty with Egypt for protection from Assyria. God says they make plans, but they don't ask me to help them. They hope they will be saved by the king of Egypt, but hiding in Egypt will bring only you shame. Egypt's protection will disappoint you. And Isaiah condemned Assyria, the destroyer, who plundered God's people. In Isaiah 10, we had read together, "The bricks have fallen, but we will rebuild with dressed stone. The sycamore trees have been felled, but we will replace them with cedars." Now, most of us are able to understand the bricks have fallen could be the towers, but it is the rest of the verse that really brings it home. Further in that same chapter, Isaiah says about the Israelites in the 13th verse, "But the people have not returned to him who struck them, nor have they sought the Lord Almighty. So the Lord will cut off from Israel both the head and the tail, both palm and branch and reed in a single day. Those who guide this people will mislead, and those who are guided are led astray." What is unbelievable is that these prophetic verses were repeatedly read by political officials many, many times as they spoke of 9/11 again and again. They invoked the prophecy upon America unknowingly. And according to this prophecy, these words haven't had to be given by those in authority. And the direst of the prophecy was that last line, "But we will replace." Israel had an air of defiance, and so with America. We would rebuild. We would show them. We would build bigger and better. And this is exactly what our leader said. And this you can look up. I did look it up, and I did verify. From the mayor of New York City, Giuliani, shortly after the attack. From the state senior senator, Charles Schumer. From the state's governor, Pataki. From the state's junior senator, Hillary Clinton. The city's mayor at the time of the rebuilding, Bloomberg. And then the president of the United States, George Bush. All said, "We will rebuild New York City." And if that wasn't enough, it is actually literally word for word inscribed on the sign at Ground Zero, which you can see today. One way or another, each leader would end up proclaiming the same words of defiance proclaimed thousands of years ago before the leaders of ancient Israel. From the book of Daniel, the 9th chapter, it is the defiance of a people who, from far from being repentant, glory in iniquity. As if it wasn't enough, or perhaps not clear enough, an American senator, Jonathan Edwards, would actually end his speech at Ground Zero with these words, quote, "Our nation's purpose is to show the world we are not afraid. We are defiant." Just like ancient Israel, we were not going to let anybody push us around. How dare they? Was God mentioned in any of these? No. We were like the ancients, defiant. Now, some people asked, where was God when all this was happening? Well, let's think about that. First, we took him out of our schools. Then out of our public buildings. Then we took the Ten Commandments out of the public eye. We did not allow prayer in public places, especially not in the school, nor in nativity settings in public places. And we even wanted to take his name off our coins. So we have to ask ourselves, where was God? We took him out of everything in our lives. So let's think about it this week. And next week we will pursue more of the prophecy that has been fulfilled already. And let us show our Lord that we are not taking him out of our lives now or ever. Amen?
Amen.
I will serve the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, and with all my strength. I will serve the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, and with all my strength. With all my mind, with all my soul, with all my heart, with all my strength. I will serve the Lord with all my soul, with all my heart, with all my mind, and with all my strength. I will love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all my strength. I will love the Lord with all your soul, with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all my strength. With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. I will love the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, and with all my strength.
Together we profess our faith with the use of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary.
He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell.
On the third day he rose again.
He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father.
He will come again to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit,
the Holy Catholic Church,
the communion of saints,
the forgiveness of sins,
the resurrection of the body,
and the life everlasting.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
And we share the peace. Called into unity with one another and the whole creation, let us pray for our world.
We pray for the church and for churches everywhere. Sustain us as we hear your word. Embrace us as we struggle through these uncertain times. Lift up our leaders that they may hear your words and obey them. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We pray for all nations and particularly our nation. Guide our leaders in developing policies for the good of all people. Lead us to love for our neighbors. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We pray for all in need, for those who are tired, feeling despair, sick, or distressed. Take their yoke upon you and ease their burdens. Give your consolation and free them from all that binds them. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We pray for this congregation. Bless all who serve in this place. Guide them as they select a pastor to lead them. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We pray for all who have lost loved ones, especially the Smivog family. Welcome Robert into your eternal rest and comfort the grieving. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We pray for all who feel oppressed. May they turn to you, our Comforter and our Redeemer. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We pray for all those who are listening today. And we pray that we may soon be worshiping together and sharing the peace with each other. Receive these prayers, O God, and those that are too deep for words, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us when we pray to say, Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come,
thy will be done,
on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread,
and forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation,
but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen.
And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his peace to shine upon you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our God is an awesome God.